The hedgehog threw his ash stick in the air and caught it.
Dumble, you little puddin', what a good idea! Come on, ma'am, pick a name there or I'll join him. You ain't heard me cry. I'm a champion whaler, and I can turn purple too.
Shame on you, Mr. Spinny. I can't even think up a proper name for the season yet.
Dumble fastened himself to the habit skirt again.
Oh, you can think of one with a veil.
She set about detaching him once more.
The summer of the annoying baby dormouse, that's about all I can think of at the moment.
Mrs. Faith Spinney came bustling out of the gatehouse.
Summer of the villainous archer, more like it. Ooh, that dreadful young Sumpkin.
Thrug and his sister Thrug Ann trudged up to join them. Between them, the two otters bore a fine netful of fresh water shrimp. Thrug held them up proudly.
Caught a dorn in our own Abbey Pond, ma'am. They'll make a tasty soup with plenty of pepper and bulrush tips. Stow me, gaff! I've never seen so many shrimp in that pond as there be this season. I reckon that old trout ain't eating them. He's got too fat and lazy. Look it, there he goes now.
The ancient trout flopped noisily on the surface. As they walked in the direction of the pond, Tud wagged his cane.
That there fish be older than me. I recall he was near full grown when I was only a little ug, you know. Great walloper.
They stood at the pond's edge. From just beneath the surface, the trout watched them, its mouth opening and closing slowly. Thrug shook the dripping net at it.
Look here, matey! We pinched all your shrimps!
The big fish performed a moody half-leap, splashing them with water as it fell back into the pond. Dumble stuck out his tongue and poured his nose at it.
Lazy old trout!
Mrs. Spinney produced a dried plum from her apron pocket, and triumphantly she stuffed it in the infant's mouth.
That's it! The summer of the lazy trout!
The abbess pulled a wry face.
Oh, dear, I'm not sure I like that. Seasons are usually named after trees or flowers. Summer of the lazy trout? A bit irregular. But in the absence of a better name, I suppose it'll have to do. When do you want it held?
A concerted shout went up.
Tomorrow!
Abbess Vale looked to her friend.
Very short notice for a name day. Could you cope, Faith?
Mrs. Spinney straightened her apron and mob cap in a businesslike manner.
Ready and willing to try, Vale?
At this, they all gave a rousing cheer. Tud Spinney tripped on his stick and fell, and little Dumble got overexcited and leapt over Tud, straight into the pond. Thrug Ann waded swiftly in and hauled the dripping infant out. After breakfast, the word was all over the abbey. Over at the south wall steps, young creatures whooped and jumped with delight. Sampkin and a ruler among them.
It's tomorrow!
Hooray!
The name day's tomorrow!
There's going to be a party!
We're going to have a party!
Clad in a clean, dry smock, Dumble led them, marching up the steps and along the ramparts, chanting the traditional rhyme which young ones recited in anticipation of the feast.
Food to eat and games to play. Tell me why, tell me why. Serve it out and eat it up. Have a try, have a try. Name day, name day, fun and game day. Come brother, sister, join our play. This season has a name.
The great Joseph Bell pealed out happily over the sunny morn, and birds twittered in excitement over the joyous din. Old abbey dwellers who were not busy in the kitchens gathered on the lawn to watch the young ones and remember long ago name days they had enjoyed taking part in. Other creatures outside Redwall heard the sounds of celebration that morning. Dingai and Thura, the two stoats who had deserted Ferrago's army some weeks earlier. They lay in the ditch on the opposite side of the path which skirted the west wall. Days and nights of roaming the west flatlands, scavenging, begging, and thieving to eke out their mean existence, showed on their gaunt faces. Dingai was sleeping in the warmth of the morning sun, dreaming of roast meat and red wine, when Thura shook him.
Listen, can you hear that, Mocker?
Dingai sat up. He rubbed his face with a ragged sleeve and waggled a paw in his ear to clear it, cocking his head on one side. Gradually his ugly face split into a crooked grin, and he waved his paw in time with the chanting.
Yes, Yes, indeedy. Sounds like a good old-fashioned whoop-de-doo. What do you make of it, mucker?
Thura was chewing a blade of grass. His stomach growled loudly, and he pulled a face and spat out the grass.
I'd say it sounds the same to me as it do to you. Some beast ringing billio out of a bell, a load of young'uns setting up a racket. All sounds very nice, though. Here,